Going on. Huh.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Joe, Leslie. I love that. The colors, purple. And
yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it does that. Like Disco City here.
I feel like I'm at a dead show. Not anymore. It stopped. It stopped.
Rock on.
Rock on. You got that right. Wow. God, my brother, I was at my brother's up in Maine about 3 weeks ago, and he says, you got to see this dead show. I guess it was like they were playing in California, and they released a series of drones, and the drones went over the stadium where they were playing, and they formed like... I don't know if you've ever seen Uncle Sam, you know, with his hat on. You know, they had like a large human being with a hat, and he tipped his hat. And if that wasn't enough, then they had the Grateful Dead symbol, with the skeleton with the lightning bolt in the head. And in the lightning bolt, they had all these diagrams. I couldn't believe they were doing this with drones, like thousands of drones. And it was just... It was pretty surreal. It was like,
cool.
It was pretty amazing that the technology they have today. I thought
that's how they're talking about doing light firework shows now with drones instead of fireworks.
Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Yeah. We're waiting for Alan, right? I don't seem to see myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a holler on my phone if I can find it. Cell phone. Be back.
All right, check 1, 2.
All right, I'm back.
All right, Rod. So
hi,
I got
Matt.
Hey, Rod, how are you? So it's
what's happening?
Yeah, just another beautiful day in Bolton.
That's funny.
So it's just you and me and Leslie right now?
Right now, I think Alan should be signing on momentarily. I just got oh, there it is. All right, good timing. So we have a quorum. That's great news.
It's going to make nominating officers kind of different.
Yeah, I know. I think that Brenda was going to chime in from the beautiful state of Maine, but I don't think it's too beautiful right now. I think they're probably getting rain as well. And then Peter Van Dyne is up in New Hampshire, so this is it, the nuts and bolts. Hi, Alan.
Hey.
All right, so let's get underway. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Let's call the meeting to order. This is the regular meeting of the Conservation Commission for the Town of Bolton, Monday, August 7th. Okay, and the first item on the agenda is the roll call. And it looks like we have Alan Dicknell here as well as Matt Rivers. And yours truly, Rod Parley, along with our amazing secretary.
Yay, Leslie.
Leslie.
Couldn't do it without you.
Who turned off her light show. You guys missed the light show we had earlier. It was pretty good. Okay, so Second item is minutes review of the July 6th, 2023 meeting, a regular meeting that we had. That was also virtual. So I think that we are going to go live starting in September at Town Hall. How does that sound with everyone?
What date?
That would be the next September meeting. Let me see. The next September meeting is on September 7th. And I think it might be hybrid, or we could go just live, but start meeting in person.
For the first time in a long time.
I know. It's been a while. Yes, I think it's been too long. I think we need to, see everybody live for a change. And even though I do like, the comforts of home and just being able to, wear sweatpants and a T-shirt,
I thought you had a suit on. I'm totally blown away now.
But anyway, that's the plan. And at some point I have to get up to Town Hall and learn how to use, if we're going to use the OWL, if we're going to be hybrid, I have to learn a few things. So the minutes of our July 6th meeting are actually attached to this agenda. Does everybody see that? Oh, probably not.
No.
Let me see if I, no, I didn't attach it yet. Hold on a second. Okay, let me see, share screen. All right. How's that looking right now? Yes, no, maybe.
Yep. It's a little small.
All right, I can bring it a little bigger. How's that?
Yep.
Or that even.
That's good.
Okay. I can just scroll through this real quick. Leslie, how did you ever do this? How did you, nice work on including this in the minutes. The baseline water chemistry for Notch Pond?
Oh, you sent it to me.
Was it in the minutes to like?
Yeah, you. I wasn't able to do it by myself, so you sent it to me and I stuck it in.
Oh, I thought you put it in.
All right. You.
Nice work. So, yep. It hopefully it's viewable. For everyone. Actually, I could probably make this bigger, right? Wow, look at that. Cool. All right. Can't do that live, right?
So just for the record, there should probably be a comma where it says there was no quorum at FBL. Right there, that should probably have a comma.
Yep.
And mainly for children, they probably would prefer to say this will be for children.
Strike mainly.
Yep. Probably 3 years should be like with a hyphen.
Yep.
I guess that 2023 should be a comma. adjournment. I mean, I don't know if it matters. Yeah, 9.0. No, August 7th, 2023.
What item was that?
9.0. Matt Rivers made a motion to adjourn. Next regular meeting is Monday, August 7th, 2023. I presume they want a comma there.
Yeah.
After 20.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have to, you know, interact with that.
Okay. If I'm making these other changes, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. It's my birthday anyway, so don't worry about it.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Oh, we're out of here quick. You got some cake to eat.
You better start talking.
Right?
Okay. So is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Well, really as amended, right?
Oh, amended.
As amended.
Right, sorry.
As presented, that amended. Yep. Okay. Is there a second?
I will second.
Any more comments, questions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion's carried. Minutes are approved. Great. Okay, so on to item public comment. Is there anybody here on behalf of the public? I don't see or hear anybody. Okay, so we'll move on to finance report. So Peter is not here with the finance report, but he did say that he had some questions about the Notch Pond water analysis payment. He wasn't sure if it was actually included in this year's fiscal budget or last year's fiscal budget. He was waiting to find that out, and he will report to us at our next regular meeting. And that's it for finance report. Moving right on to new business. So I did have a chance to go to the NEPARC conference. Just for the record, what does NEPARC stand for? So I just had that document in front of me, you know. So at least if I'm in person, you guys can say, oh, there it is. It's right over there on that pile. Anyway, the NEPARC conference was great. So I did have a chance to go and represent the Conservation Commission and Hekiwik. It was actually held at Wesleyan, and it was really good. I had a chance to listen to a panel discussion, and afterwards had a chance to chum around with the facilitator, who was from Mansfield. She was a member of the Mansfield Conservation Commission, and also one of the panelists, Michael Clemens, who's a herpetologist. And Hank Gruner and Juan Sanchez. So had a pretty good time talking to them about mostly, you know, different types of land use management techniques and how to share the land. And how one of the interesting points I was making was the fact that, you know, the state of Massachusetts actually has a certification of vernal pools. You know, why can't Connecticut do something similar? And they assured me that we already have a process. Similar to core forests, where there's different categories for vernal pools, which I thought was very interesting, and I'd like to learn more about that. It really opened up a lot of questions more than answers. I think the panel included a developer, which I thought was really good to have a developer's perspective. And he planned a huge development. And he basically was asked the question, you know, if you were to do it again, would you do it differently? And he said, no, it was great that he was able to communicate. He never knew about all the environmental issues associated with a development, and really believed in the pre-application process. Really important, he thought, that it should be required by every town. So what that involves is that basically a developer that's planning a subdivision or any kind of development usually goes before the regulatory commission with just an open pre-application process discussion. So the developer gets an idea as to what's required, so the developer has a better idea on where to put his energy into. And it's a win-win. It works great for everyone. That was an interesting fact that it was brought out in that panel discussion. So that was a pretty good meeting. Sorry you couldn't make it, Alan. That was something that I know we originally signed you up to go as well.
Yeah, I lost track of it.
Yep, that's fine. Oh, yeah, so it's Knee Park. Nope. Anyway, that's it for that item. We can probably move on to Salamander Survey with Hank Gruner. So the cool thing about being invited from Hank to that conference was the fact that he helped us the next day with the Salamander Survey. I actually have a document I can share. Put together tonight before this meeting. Stream Salamander Survey. This is also going to be sent. Did you guys get this in the mail by chance yet? Probably not. Email? No.
I have not seen that yet.
Okay.
I can't say
So, Matt, did you get it? No?
No, I can't say I have.
I think I sent an email out. Maybe it was
email.
Just to Leslie.
Oh, we
yeah. I think I sent it to Leslie and attached as much correspondence. I try to do that so she just has to write down the titles, the dates, whatever correspondence are circulated. And I thought that I included this. But anyway, this is the data that I need to send to Peter. Peter actually does record the data of when we, mostly when we do our stream temperature monitoring, but this was also tied in with the stream salamander survey. So July 6th, we went out, Alan and I went out, and we identified two northern dusky salamanders just northeast of the vernal pool on the headwaters, the Hop River headwaters. And an Apenhall Greenway. And while we were there, we placed a newly acquired tidbit in a stream because the vernal pool, which was we're very surprised on July 6th, was dry as a bone. Now it's overflowing with water. It's amazing. What a difference a month makes. So on July 26th, Hank joined Alan and I, and we identified, is this correct, Alan, six? Northern dusky?
Yeah.
Was it four?
It was six okay. Dusky and four four two-lined.
Oh, four. Okay, I had two lines. Okay, so I'll change that right now. Four. We also relocated the active tidbit back to the vernal pool where it was intended to go. And I took pictures of the area, so it's got GPS coordinates. And it started collecting data at 11 a.m. So this will be sent to Peter, so we can add that. On August 3rd, Alan and I went up to Bolton Island State Park to check on the status of the vernal pool tidbit. And that vernal pool is the highest I've ever seen it. It was actually almost overflowing the southern end, very deep. And when we first got there, we didn't even see any sign of the braided fishing line. So I had to go in up to the very top of my waders and reach down and found the actual tidbit that was still tied to a rock. So that's still active. We pulled it out and uploaded the data. That was on August 3rd at 11:07 a.m. I'm sorry, 10:37 a.m. Oh, 10:07 a.m. And here's some pictures. Here's some photos. Everybody see that? That's a northern dusky salamander.
Yep.
That is very indicative of a cold water, freshwater, clean stream. That's the first one we found on July 6th. And what Hank Gruner told us to do is to actually have milk cartons, like quart milk cartons, and cut out the bottom and use the handle. And that's how we caught them to photograph before we released them. There's another photo of one we found on 726. And there, we did not see photos of the two-lion salamander because they move very quick. And we weren't able to capture them in the milk carton. But that's what they look like. That's a photo of a two-lion salamander that was copied from Wikipedia. Is that what it looked like, Alan?
Which is very different than the red-backed salamander.
Hmm.
I mean, the redback salamander has a distinct red band going down its back.
And you saw four two-lined, not two two-lined, but four two-lined. Okay. One of the four. Please correct that. Northern lion salamanders, two-lined. Okay. And then here's the photograph of the vernal pool in the Nathan Hale Greenway. And I placed the on the other side, the tidbit on the other side of this tree that's overhanging.
Oh, Nathan Hale. I was thinking Bolt Nash. Sorry.
We went to both places, so.
Yes, and here's the one that you're familiar
Holy
with, Matt.
Bro,
look at that water, huh? Yep. So we tied it to the other side. There's a if you look carefully. See if I can zoom in. Nope, it's not. There's a stem on this tree that we tied the braided fishing line to. And it's
About vernal pools not having an outflow. This one might wind up with one if it gets much higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's over a cliff, so the whole point is fish can't get to it to eat the eggs.
That would be one determined salmon.
That would be, yeah. And salmon are by nature very determined, so I'll give you that.
Yeah. I don't know how good they are on cliffing. Yeah. No, I think we're good.
Okay. All right. So the next item is natural resource inventory mapping. So you'll see that I have some pretty amazing maps under correspondence that I should probably start sharing now. I'm going to share this one first, see if I can bring it up. Let me see. Anybody see that?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, it's not working. Okay. Let me bring up the map then. I know that's there. New share, okay. Bear with me. There we go. Can everybody see that? No?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
How about that?
Yes.
Great.
All right, that's looking better.
All right. So this is, I don't have the key with me, but this is a pretty much a blown up version of a map that was put together by CLEAR. And it shows pretty much core forests. The dark green is level A. And then it's tiered down to light green. And then you have the yellow is the edge habitat around the edge. So you get an idea. I mean, it'd be nice to be able to see this, when Peter and I talk about getting the GIS data, it would be nice to have this map overlaid on top of a parcel boundary map. So we can see, like, for instance, where is Bolt Notch State Park in that core area? You know, where is Freya Park in that core area? You know, where is Bolton Lake? Where is the Nathan Hale Greenway? There's Nathan Hale Greenway right there. And that looks like it's light green, which is surprising.
I was going to say, I wonder why that is.
Yeah. Well, this is done in 2014, so I think it needs to be updated.
Right.
And you can see in here, this is the... looks
basically
like
the Hop River bikeway.
Linear Park Trail there, yep.
Right.
Looks like it runs all the way to the Heritage Farm, which is kind of hard to believe that the Heritage Farm would be a core forest, right? I think that's right there.
Like woods in it.
Yep. Anyway, that's one map that would be added to our natural resource inventory. Any other questions, Alan? You're zooming in.
Just a comment that you can see Bolton Notch Pond just down from Bolton Lake, right where your hand is. So that's showing it as the edge of a good forest. Yeah.
Wow, and it looks like all this area up behind 3J's, yep, over to the Manchester Land Trust. But then they have this area that slices in through Box Mountain. I wonder, or maybe that's to the west. That must be, I don't know where that is right there. Oh, that's the rail bed? Is that the rail bed? Maybe?
No,
that's definitely not the rail bed.
Yeah, the rail bed goes basically along the spine. Here? Yeah, right.
Over there. Okay, so is this Box Mountain? Maybe it is, the fire tower? That's it. Okay, so that's Box Mountain Drive. That makes sense. Yeah, that's Box Mountain going up to Box Mountain Drive. So that's the old growth forest right there. That's the property that's in the old growth forest network in that area. Look at that spine. It runs all the way up to Valley Falls. Pretty cool. Mm. Goes all the way around. Huh. Pretty neat. All right, so then we have another map. Got to bring up. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to meeting in person because it's sometimes a little bit arduous trying to find. So now I'm going to try to bring up the Capital Council Region of Government's Conservation Focus Area map. If I can find it. There it is. All right, now it's definitely zoomed in, so it's going to be definitely fragmented. Not the forest part, just the details. Okay, let me just back to Zoom. Okay, here we go. Well, where it's not showing. What the heck? I'll dig it out again. Conservation focus area. There it is. Okay. Does everybody see that?
Small version of it.
Yeah, it's very small. Actually, I have a better option here. Here's the appendix. And this is actually something I can zoom in on. If it opens. Yes, it does open. All right. This is really good. If I can get this to work. Yeah. All right. Here we go. This is a PDF file. Does everybody see that?
Yes.
All right, great. This has the actual legend with it too, so I can explain what we see. So you can see there's definitely conservation corridors. There's areas of municipal focus. There's existing open space, priority conservation areas, environmentally sensitive areas, public water and sewer, and other lands. And you can see on the left-hand side, the stripes are municipal focus areas. The green is existing open space. And then you have the light green, which is Capital Region Council of Government priority conservation areas. And then you have the amber color, which is environmentally sensitive areas. And then you have a conservation corridor, which, by the way, when we were doing the salamander survey on a 90,000 degree day, it was probably 92 degrees, but probably 78 in the shade. While Alan and I's feet were in the stream keeping cool, Hank Gruner gave us a whole explanation of the importance of this map and how we need to share this and use this because it's somebody else's. It's already been done. It's been vetted. It's official document by the Capital Region Council of Governments. And we're going to zoom in on this, hopefully, if I can figure out how to zoom in. Let me see. Wow. Matt, can you help me here? Do you see the upper drop down? Do you see an area to zoom in?
I do not. No.
Magnifying glass?
No, it's fine.
It's a search. If you hit control, if you're on your desktop or laptop, if you hit control and plus, the plus sign on the
amazing. Matt, you're amazing.
Way to go, great. Matt.
Way to go. You rock.
I might have had an encounter or two with Windows. What can I say?
All right. Unfortunately, I zoomed in to the north too far. All right, now how do I get the hand on there so I can?
Probably just on the right.
Actually, if you just
side, scroll down.
You might be able to just click and, just sort of click and drag and see what happens there.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. All right. There's a scroll. All right. This meeting was blocking that scroll bar. Okay. Now, where is Bolton here?
Right in the.
There it is, right over there. Okay.
Yep. Just towards that right hand border. Yep.
Right. So you can, here we go. You can see, let me zoom in, control plus again. I'm going to zoom in even closer. There it is, to the very far right of our screen. Okay. So you can see the dark areas, the lime green areas, and the crosshatches. This is their priority. The Route 44, Route 6 corridor. Looks like the center of town. But it looks like, is that Bolton on State Park? Oh, that's Bolton Lake. It's dark green.
No, it's got to be. I mean, I think the lake is off the. No, I'm not sure.
Well, I think that green is Bolton Lake. Yeah.
It's not shaped like Bolton Lake. Sorry.
So the dark, it says existing open space. Yeah, it's owned by the state, so I guess it's one way of looking at it. That's one definition of open space. By the way, I did attend a meeting by the CLCC. It was a lunch meeting, and they're coming up with a green plan. They're trying to redefine open space, which I think this is a good reason why. When they show a lake as being open space, I mean, I understand it's owned by the state, but really? Is it really open space?
Well, there is a legend for water bodies, so I'm a little confused.
Yeah, it is confusing. It's not blue. Instead, it's green as open space. So then you have the Capital Region Council Government priority conservation areas in lime green. And look at the area in the northwestern part of the state. And also in the southwestern part and in the southeastern part as well. Pretty good pieces of land that are considered priority conservation areas. So that's what Hank Gruner was talking about. And in Andover, they have conservation priorities as well that they've established. But they have a different council of government. They're under a, you can see where it just ends at the Bolton Coventry line. Any questions on that map? Okay. Stop this. That pretty much is the extent of our natural resource inventory conversation. But I plan on working with Peter Van Dyne on that. We're hoping to learn more about QGIS. It's a new program that is actually free. And if we can get that up and running, we can start adding layers to our maps. All right, so back to the agenda. All right, any questions on natural resource inventory mapping? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to 5.4, election of officers. So this is something that's required to do every year. We're going to do it at the last meeting, but we did not include it on the agenda. So we're doing it tonight, and I spoke with Peter, and he has offered another term as vice chair and or treasurer. He opened up the opportunity for anybody else who would like to be treasurer. But he said he would be willing to be vice chair again. So I guess I would entertain a motion to nominate a member of our board to be treasurer. Why don't we start with treasurer? Anybody like to make a nomination?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, just given the outstanding job that Peter has done as our treasurer over the last at least period of time that I've been with the Conservation Commission, I respectfully would nominate Peter Van Dyne as our treasurer.
Great. So is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay. And I guess we could call for a vote unless there's any more nominations. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion's carried. Now we need to elect a treasurer. Would you like to make a motion to elect Mr. Van Dyne?
I'll make the motion treasurer. To elect Peter Van Dyne as treasurer for the Bolton Conservation Commission.
Is there a second?
I will second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion's carried. He's our treasurer again.
Yay, Peter.
All right. Yes. Let's try to help him. I know he's sometimes gets frustrated with the amount of paperwork involved. And, before we even had a treasurer, the chair had to do that, and it was not fun. So I know it's involved, and it's an awful lot of work, and I give him a lot of credit for that. Try to give him a lot of leeway, too. Okay, so is there a motion to elect a vice chair? I'm sorry, to nominate a vice chair.
I would nominate Peter Van Dyne for vice chair.
Okay, is there a second?
I will second.
Any more nominations? Okay, I guess we'll make the motion's been made to nominate Peter Van Dyne as chair. All those in favor signify by saying, I'm sorry, as vice chair. That'd be, yeah, we'd just like him as chair. That'd be great without him knowing.
He'd have a coronary. Peter.
So all those in favor of nominating Peter Van Dyne as vice chair signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion's carried. Peter's elected as vice chair. Now, nominations for chair. Would somebody like to make a nomination for a chair? And again, this is open to anybody that would like to do this. Feel free.
I will nominate Rod Parley as, for another term as chair of the Bolton Conservation Commission.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any more nominations? Hearing none. All those in favor of nominating yours truly as chair, once again, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Okay, now we need to elect yours truly as chair. So somebody care to make a motion to elect?
I will make a motion to elect Rod Parley as the chairman of the Bolton Conservation Commission for this upcoming term.
Great. Is there a second?
I will second.
Any more nominations? Hearing none, all those in favor of electing me as chair again for another term, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion's carried. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
That was relatively painless. But again, we wouldn't have officers if it wasn't for the the great folks that support this commission, like you and Matt, Alan and Matt. I mean, you guys do an amazing job being there when we need you. You know, I'll never forget that one time we went up in the pouring rain, Matt and I. That was crazy. You know, it opened
that
up.
Was nuts.
Yeah, and then the crazy thing was, I thought that Alan was having a good time in the high heat with the bugs eating, you know, our necks, you know, and then Alan was complaining about the next day. I said to myself, why? He didn't complain one bit when you were there. It was after the fact that he realized it was rather humid.
I usually don't complain while the event is going.
Yeah, that was...
I wait for
that.
You wait for later.
Got it done. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Leslie, for being our wonderful clerk. We wouldn't be looking so good if it wasn't for the way things are portrayed to the public in the form of minutes. The minutes say a lot. I'm a part of another group, another organization, and I had the secretary couldn't make the meeting, so the treasurer took the minutes, and the treasurer did a terrible job. I mean, missed points, missed this, missed that, didn't go off the agenda. So I actually sent an example of our minutes, and they were blown away. It was like nothing but crickets. I didn't really mean to show it off, but I was just trying to use it as an example. It was kind of like, wow, this is the way minutes should be done.
Right.
All right. So continuing business, Bolton High School student volunteer opportunities. So this is going to be continued to the next meeting. We actually did reach out and do have a line of communication with the science teacher at Bolton High School. And she was, last I heard, she was waiting for the students to come back to school, and she was going to reach out and ask if anyone was interested, try to encourage or try to basically, pick some really good students who might be interested in being a student member of our Conservation Commission, a student representative. And also, it's good timing because in October we have our Riffle Bio Assessment, and it'd be nice to have some high school students involved with that. Especially since they have to perform community service every year. Every high school student, did you know this? That every high school student has to put in so many hours of community service
before they graduate. Something about that, yeah.
Yeah, so, and not to mention the scouts that do Eagle Scout projects, you know, and the Cub Scouts. You know, there's a guy, I forgot his last name, Nick. His son is very involved, and I see him everywhere, and he would love to do a project for us at some point. So we just need to think of something we could propose to his son, who comes to all these work parties. He's a real hard worker. So that's great to get the students involved and to capitalize on those opportunities. Any other questions about that?
No.
Okay. So Notch Pond litter from culverts, the beavers and water analysis parameters result. I know it's a long item on the agenda, but I can go through it really quick. So Peter and I have been trying to schedule a meeting with Sue and Jim. I meant Pam. Pam Sawyer and Jim Rupert. We're hoping to schedule a meeting sometime soon. I guess Pam was away out of state on vacation. Jim was also not in. So we're going to try again. We'll make it happen. You know, it's a tough time of year to get people together. But we do want to meet and discuss ways in which we can prevent the litter from coming out of those culverts. It's kind of hard to even review at this point because it's all covered and it's not very viewable. You can't really see it. So once the leaves come down, we can probably get a better idea as to where these problem culverts are. And then the beavers, the beaver issue is not yet resolved. Apparently, nobody has seen signs of the beavers, but yet the times where they haven't seen them were not and the time frame in which the trapping is allowed. So we don't know if they just moved on or they're there and we don't notice them, or they have been trapped illegally. But please do keep, you know, when you make an effort to look into Notch Pond when you're hiking in Freya or on the Hop River Trail, you know, take a look at the pond and look for any beaver activity and let us know. And then the water analysis parameter results. So the last meeting, I think you might remember me asking Peter to, you know, it was nice to have, and I can bring this up because it's on the same page here. It's nice to have these parameters, and here they are right here. You can see the parameters for, there's no parameters, I'm sorry. It's nice to see the results of the test that we took on June 6th and again on June 8th that were sent to Phoenix Lab. For total solids, total phosphorus, total nitrogen, dissolved oxygen, pH, salinity, conductivity, oil and grease, and temperature. So Peter explained to me that when you have parameters, when you have your water tested, that is regulated by the health department, and those parameters are pretty clear. But there isn't really any clear parameters for a pond that he was aware of, and he is researching these parameters. In other words, what is a healthy dissolved oxygen level for Notch Pond? And maybe we can, you know, temperature, sure. You know, salinity, yes. But how about nitrogen and phosphorus and conductivity? So we're going to try to learn more about that and come up with some parameters for a pond. Make sense? Hmm. Questions?
So out of curiosity, would Phoenix have any ideas about that sort of thing?
I think he had tried, yeah. Now he said no. We could ask again, but I'm pretty sure that Phoenix just looks at the testing pretty much and provides the results and sends you the bill. Right. You know, but the state.
What about EnviroTech? From what I understand, Phoenix is no longer checked off for residential drinking water testing. I realize we have an account with Phoenix, but when just as a homeowner, you had to have some water testing done because of a change to my well, and we checked out state checked off, you know, state certified labs for water testing, and EnviroTech, I believe they're in Newington, or Newington, Weathersfield, somewhere that neck of the woods. And we took our samples there, and they turned them around pretty quick.
Yeah, well, that's completely different. The health department, you know, they have parameters, very strict parameters. You know, what is a healthy salinity level? Mm-hmm. What is that? You know, what is a healthy pH level before your pipes start breaking down? You know, so it's all related to residential, but I don't think there's too much for lakes and ponds.
Wouldn't a healthy lake or pond fall more under the purview of DWP rather than the DPH?
Yes, maybe Eric Thomas. We can check with Eric at DEP, and if we don't get anywhere, maybe he would know where to turn. Maybe FBL. I'm sorry, not even FBL. Not FBL. I meant to say CFL, the Connecticut Federation of Lakes. They might have a better idea as to what parameters are normal for a pond versus a lake. Yeah, that's to be determined. So we will continue to follow through with that. Peter plans on sending us the parameters if he can find them. And that's pretty much it. The next item is the Kakiwik report. So something that I want to – go ahead.
Were you going to do the stream temperature monitoring?
Oh, did I miss that? Oh, geez. I did miss that, right. Okay, so we previously discussed that. I can discuss it again. So basically that I will send out at the end of this meeting, Leslie, and if you didn't get it, what I just showed everybody, the photographs of the salamanders.
Okay.
That included the stream temperature monitoring. So basically, okay. we We did reactivate the tidbit at, in short, both vernal pools, one in Bolt Notch State Park and Nathan Hale Greenway. So they are right now in operation. And there's another one. There's actually quite a few. So Peter was going to come up with a list before our next meeting of which ones are active and how many we have that are not active.
Okay.
How many we own, how much the state owns. I'm pretty sure we own our own now. So we're probably the only conservation commission in the state of Connecticut that actually monitors vernal pool temperature, which is pretty amazing. And it's good data to have. We've developed baseline data. We've been doing this for close to 3 years now. So we got some pretty good data. I probably made a mistake by sending Alan all the Excel spreadsheet from the tidbit data from the Bolt Notch State Park vernal pool. It was pretty big file, huh, Alan?
Yes.
So anyway, that's it. Well, the street temperature monitoring, I will send you what I shared with everyone on before when we spoke about Notch Pond water analysis. I mean, when we spoke about the landscape conference.
Gotcha.
Salamander survey. Salamander, okay. So, Kakerik report. So, I wanted to ask you folks, you commission members, what kind of topics would you benefit from the most at a Kakerik annual meeting? And, I've already piped in, what I thought would be good. Vernal pool conservation was my first priority. My second one was, encouraging conservation commissions to conduct natural resource inventories and providing tools for them to use. And also sharing 7-131B of the Connecticut General Statutes that says they shall conduct research into the utilization and possible utilization of land areas, which is pretty strong. I mean, it's not a may, it's a shall. What we're doing is pretty much right by the book. So the question I guess I got for you guys is what other topics would you benefit from, at a workshop, at a Kakerik annual meeting?
I think something that I would be interested in is how to get the public more involved with various levels of conservation and
outreach and engagement.
Yes, thank you.
How to engage the public? Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And at least make it so that the public is aware of the various aspects that we're interacting with.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, I mean, there's this one woman from Greenwich. She blew us away with all the topics that she sent. Like light pollution, for instance. She's saying that there's an effect on fireflies because people are putting all these lights in their backyard. These fireflies, which are actually known as their beetles, not to mention Luna moths, all kinds of insects have an impact from light pollution. That's one of the topics she suggested. PFAS contamination was another one, the forever chemical. There's a lot floating around, so we're in the process of narrowing it down to determine, which ones would benefit the conservation commissions and which ones would benefit wetlands. And this, we alternate every year, so this is the year of conservation commissions. And one of our keynotes is going to, I'm pretty sure our keynote is going to be from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration talking about climate change and about how we deal with it on a local scale, on a watershed scale. And in the correspondence, there's the Natural Resource Conservation Service talks about Emergency Watershed Protection Program. There's funding available for public and private landowners. They're eligible for assistance by USDA to basically, you know, unclog waterways, areas where there's been stream bank erosion, windborne debris removal, damaged upland sites stripped of protective vegetation by fire or drought. So there's lots of ideas that are floating around for the Kakiwik annual meeting. And even another idea came up with one of our directors is a real parliamentarian, and he knows Robert's rules by the back of his hand. And I was at a meeting in July where we didn't have a quorum, and we took minutes, even though we didn't have a quorum. I thought to myself, it's kind of weird to take minutes if there's not a quorum. It's not an official meeting. But we took the minutes, and the following meeting that we did have a quorum, the minutes were presented to the board and voted on and approved. And that's the first time I've ever known of that happening. And I shared it with our town clerk. Apparently, there is a section in the Robert's Rules that allows minutes to be approved from a prior meeting that did not have a quorum by a meeting that exists that does have a quorum. That makes sense?
Yep.
News to me. Always learning something new when it comes to Robert's Rules.
All right.
Never ending. So any other topics that you'd be interested in learning from for the Kakiwik annual meeting? And by the way, please do mark this on your calendars. On November 11th is a Saturday. It's going to be in Bristol, Connecticut. We should all carpool. It's going to be at a DoubleTree Hotel Conference Center, which is going to be state of the art. Just to give you an idea as to how it's set up, all the workshops are on this open atrium tier that surrounds this open area where you can look down from the workshops and see the exhibitors down below. And then at the end of that bottom level is the ballroom, and there's huge monitors everywhere. It's a really nice setup. We're going to go back again, but yeah, I think they're opening in
Bristol, you said?
Yes, yeah, in Bristol. DoubleTree. Yep. Cool. All right. So correspondence. We already saw the Yukon forest fragmented, the core forests. We saw that map. We saw the Capital Council Region of Government Conservation Focus Areas. And now I'm going to try to share with you the I can just report on this. The NRCS, Emergency Watershed Protection Program, it's administered by the NRCS, and it's the Emergency Watershed Program, which responds to emergencies created by natural disasters. It is not necessary for a national emergency to be declared for an area to be eligible for assistance. It's a recovery effort aimed at relieving imminent hazards to life and property caused by floods, fires, or windstorms. All projects must have a project sponsor. NRCS may bear up to 75% of the eligible construction costs of emergency measures, 90% within limited resource areas as identified by the U.S. Census data. The remaining costs must come from local sources that can be found in the form of cash or in-kind services. And I mentioned the type of work. It just reminds me of Mark Anthony when they had that blowout of that culvert, and those people were abandoned. They could not get to the rest of the world. They were just trapped. They couldn't drive anywhere. They didn't have access to the outside world. And that was right here in Bolton, Connecticut. You know, right within the Bolton Lakes watershed, down gradient of the watershed on Bolton Pond Brook. So this is something that I think we're going to see a lot more of, as climate change becomes the new norm. Hopefully not, but it looks like it's turning out to be that way.
And you did say that you found the hobo that we lost from that?
No. You mean you saw him on Baker Brook?
The one with Mark Anthony.
Oh, we didn't lose the hobo there. No.
Oh, I thought you said you and your brother-in-law use the...
We did find one there. Yes, that's right. We did find one. Yep. He had a metal detector, and we found it. Yeah, we did find, and we pulled it out of there. We just decided that it was no longer the place. The other, we moved it way upstream. We got to check on that. Matt, maybe sometime you and I can check on it. It's the end of your street.
Okay.
On the Giglio property. So we should probably check on that. It's hopefully it's still tethered to the braided fish line that's on Bolton Pond Brook. Anyway, that's it for the Watershed Protection Program. So then the other interesting letter I sent out is the letter regarding the Notch Hydraulic Study by GM2 Associates. You might recall that it was probably a little over a year ago that they installed stakes with survey stakes, pretty much oak survey stakes. They were probably about 2.5-3 feet off the ground, and they were on the edge of trails. Some were out in the middle. They were right near our
kiosk
bench area, Notch Pond. Anyway, I had reached out to them and to Jim, and he was also concerned about the safety aspect of people utilizing these trails with these stakes everywhere. So the stakes, I pretty much emailed this gentleman. I can bring up, let me just bring up his correspondence. You might have gotten that in your email box today. Let me bring it up. Notch Pond Hydraulic Study. There it is. Okay. Now. There it is. Okay. So the response I received a few weeks ago was from GM2 Associates. And here's the executive summary. Can anybody see that?
Nope.
Yep, got it.
So this study was performed on Hop River, on the Railroad Brook, which is adjacent to the Hop River Trail in Bolton Notch State Park. Railroad Brook is the outlet of Bolton Notch Pond. Actually, it's called Notch Pond, but a 21-acre lake primarily used for recreation. I didn't know they used it for recreation that much, but I guess that's safe to say. The Hop River Trail is prone to periodic flooding from Railroad Brook. Flooding events in 2005 and 2010 caused significant damage to the trail, including stream widening, erosion of the brook's edge, deposition of debris and sediment into the brook, and displacement of boulders separating the brook from the trail. Hydrologic and hydraulic H&H modeling and analysis for the subject reach of Railroad Brook was completed in accordance with the Connecticut DEEP hydraulic guidance document to determine flows, flood capacity, water surface elevations, and inundation areas, evaluate potential impacts from removal of Bolton Notch Pond Dam, identify critical velocities, and assess repair restoration alternatives. Unit hydrographs were developed using Civil Geo HECMS, HECHMS, and the Army Corps of Engineers Hydrologic Modeling System. Version 4.8 with site-specific rainfall data based on NOAA Atlas 14 precipitation frequency data. The three sub-areas were identified with a total watershed of 527 acres, plus or minus. Sub-areas were delineated to consider the potential of flood storage during low-flow events in Bolton Notch Pond, controlling drainage structures and water course confluences. Water surface profiles were developed by Civil Geo and the Army Corps of Engineers, River Analysis, version 6.2. The existing modeling was assessed under two upstream geometric conditions, Bolton Notch Pond Dam in its current breach condition, and Notch Pond Dam removed in restoration of a shrubby wetland. The analysis demonstrated the removal of the dam reduces water surface elevations upstream, as anticipated, with convergence almost immediately downstream. Removal of the dam will not impact Railroad Brook in the vicinity of the trail that needs repair. That's pretty straightforward right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come up with three alternatives. One is a 10-foot wide reinforced trail. This alternative holds back the edge of the trail, raises the grade 4 inches, and carries a 2% slope towards Railroad Brook at the edge of the trail with a 2-to-1 grade. Implementation of tow boulders would be used, and that would be through a 5-year storm event. Option 2 is 10-foot wide trail retaining wall. This alternative raises the back edge of the trail 6 inches, carries a 2% cross slope to a 2-foot wide retaining wall. The retaining wall will have a minimum 1-foot embedment into existing grade with varying height based on existing grades. The wall will not exceed 30 inches. No fall protection is anticipated. Alternative 2 maintains trail access through a 10-year storm event. Number 3 is a 10-foot elevated boardwalk. No material mentioned on what the boardwalk would be made of. This alternative incorporates an elevated boardwalk providing 18 inches clearance from the top of the boardwalk to the existing back edge of the trail. No modification to the existing trail bed is proposed. And this alternative maintains the trail access through a 50-year storm event. The hydraulic modeling demonstrates all the alternatives will improve current conditions. The recommended alternatives will be selected in coordination with Connecticut DEP based on cost, maintenance, and trail access needs. Anybody's thoughts on that?
Well, I'll just put it right out there. Obviously, you know, the 10-foot elevated boardwalk that would hopefully provide trail access through a 50-year storm event. I'm pretty sure there's some assumptions about the severity and frequency of storms. Maintaining, if not staying on current trend. But that being said, obviously the 10-foot elevated boardwalk is going to be the most expensive option. And if they don't want to be replacing it every so many years, then going with a more, I'm just going to say, durable product like Trex or some alternative thereof, would be the logical way to go, because again, boards rot out and having seen Trex, it's some pretty durable stuff. My only concern with an artificial wood product would be, as it would be with a pressure treated product, would be any leachate into surrounding waterways. You know, should that boardwalk become inundated? A reinforced trail, 10-foot wide. I can only imagine that would be the one that the lowest impact, but sort of the lowest impact is also going to be the least durable, being the 10-foot wide reinforced trail. The 10-foot elevated boardwalk would be the one I would definitely opt for, but that's probably going to be the least feasible in terms of economics. I mean, unless we can sweet talk the taxpayers into some sort of a subsidy, of the elevated boardwalk. I can only imagine. I mean, my hope would be for the 10-foot wide retaining trail and retaining wall, sort of, you know, shoot down the middle. The 10-foot elevated boardwalk, that's the highest energy investment and the highest investment of dollars, and probably the messiest in terms of permitting as well, and construction.
Right.
Did I say that in English?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Out of curiosity, would that the elevated boardwalk, would that qualify as a project that we were talking about prior, where it's like remediation of bank erosion and that sort of thing?
I was just thinking of that when Matt started talking about economics. I was thinking, you know, there's got to be grant money available for something like this. You know, through the Rec Trails grant program. I mean, that's improving. I would think this would be a really great opportunity to get this, because there's going to be $20 million available, more money available this next round for the Recreational Trails grant program. Yeah, good point. But one of the things that I really would like to, there's two things I would really like to see. I would like to see a little more diagrams. I would like to see what material they're proposing for alternative three. I would like to see a little more in the way of mapping, because there is, if you've been on, if you've seen this area during a rainstorm, and I've seen videos, it's pretty freaking crazy what happens. The water, not only does the water come gushing over tops the entire surface of the Hop River Linear Park Trail, and that's what pretty much why they relocated Railroad Brook like 20 or 15 years ago, because it was overtopping, and they just pushed it down. The problem is now reoccurring downstream, and it's overtopping. But there's another interesting factor, and that's there's a stream inlet that comes directly from that house. If you're walking north on the Hop River Trail towards Valley Falls, and you just pass the culvert where we have our stream temperature monitor, about 20, 30 feet past that on the right-hand side, there's a scoured area of where water comes gushing out. They even put they try to block off the volume with a boulder, and it kind of dissipates the impact, but it still comes with quite a force. So that's what they need to deal with also. That's not going to go away. I'd like to see whether they've included that in these plans, that tributary.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely gouging out a canyon, basically.
So anyway, this is something we'll keep our eye on, and I will contact his name is Sam Lindgren. I did share this today with Bike Walk Bolton. They were curious to know what they were planning to do. They're very happy that they're going to address this, which I think is good. It's a good sign. I think that it should be addressed, because there's people that use this trail, and obviously it becomes unusable after a heavy rainstorm. And boy, we're getting a lot of rain. Like today, it was crazy. I couldn't believe the amount of rain we had. And I'll give you a real short story. I was up in Maine, and we were at a restaurant in Blue Hill, Maine, and the restaurant was called Blaze, and it's out over a stream, and they really do capitalize on the stream. They have all these picnic areas along the stream where they serve, you know, it's a brewery. They have their own beer, and we were there, and it was starting to rain. So we ran in, everything was inside, and we're sitting over this, like, what looked to be a pretty tame stream. But after this wicked amount of rain, that stream became whitewater rapids. And it got to a point where I was like, my wife and I were kind of worried, like, you know, are we going to be in the paper tomorrow? You know, are we going to get washed out to sea? It was really scary. And what happened was they had so much rain that night, from all these mountains, pretty much, you know, dumped into the bay, into Union River Bay, that they had what's called a backwash. All this sediment came at the wrong time. It came when the tide was coming in, and basically all the sediment was there for the entire week we were there. Thankfully, we went kayaking in a really nice lake, but in the ocean was really silted to the point where some of the lobsters that people store on docks in this open river bay, Union River Bay, Bartlett Island and Bar Harbor, Maine, some of the lobsters weren't getting enough oxygen and they were dying.
Wow.
Yeah. Nothing worse than dying lobsters, right?
Right.
That's not good. Anyway, that's it. see what else we got here. I think that's pretty much, is there any other correspondence? Let's see. Yes, okay. Letter regarding Nathan, that's right. I did email, I sent an email out today. I think I copied you folks on that. It was an email sent to, was it Kim Bradley? I'm not sure if I got the name right. She actually heads up the Recreational Trails Grant Program. I had met her at a bike ped board meeting at the boathouse, and she wanted to start a discussion on alternatives for public access of the Nathan Hale Greenway. So looking forward to hearing from her. Start a discussion on that. So any questions from anyone?
Is that the reference to parking?
Yes, that is a reference to parking. It's my understanding that there's another grant round that will end in November, early November. Maybe the discussion will come up that maybe there should be funding put aside to have public access somewhere in the Nathan Hale Greenway. I did have a chance to go as a Kakiwik director. I had a chance to attend the Coventry Conservation Commission meeting last week. And it was pretty amazing. I was really impressed with Leroy Lowe. He's been the chair now for 28 years. And his members on his commission were just amazing. They have two retired DEP employees on their board. And we're talking about the Nathan Hale Greenway, and they really would like to see it preserved as opposed to having like a bike path in it. And they complained about a timber harvest that took place on South Street in Coventry. Apparently it was terribly done. They had these slash piles that were blocking their access to their parks, and it's just a real headache. They were just really upset about that. So out of all the issues they favored the most that I brought up, they felt as though we should put aside some areas for old growth and start looking into our core forests. And, maybe the Nathan Hale Greenway could be something like that. You know, it could be preserved long term because of the fact that it has a vernal pool. Geologically, it's amazing. It's not conducive to recreation as much as people think, other than hiking. I think it's a great place to have a hiking trail.
Right.
Yeah.
Also on that note, but back to the parking lot for a second. When we were there with Hank, I couldn't help but notice it. All the trucks going up the hill, they're gearing up to go up the hill because it's a pretty big long stretch. And all of a sudden they're going to have to stop in the middle because somebody's slowing down to turn into a parking lot above Munson's. That sounds like the accident just waiting to happen.
Yeah. The safety aspect of that is an entirely interesting component to that. Yeah. It's a challenge.
And also just like the whole, fuel aspect that once again, these trucks are having to gear up, to get up over the hill there. And then once again, if they have to slow down or stop even, for God's sake, then it's just going to become that much more, fuel consumed to get back up to speed and to get over the top of the hill.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think there's got to be
going there. You saw those every 2 seconds there was a truck going up that hill, the dump trucks, the box trucks, all that kind of stuff. So I mean that's a very busy road right there.
Extraordinary.
Right, and it was a suggestion by Alan and I had a chance to talk to the brother of the owner of Bolton Collision Repair. Had an interesting conversation with him. They think it's wrong that the town blocked off access, and they think it could be a liability. Somebody driving too fast into there where they think that it's open, where they can park, and all of a sudden there's these big boulders in the way.
No, maybe there should be warning.
Maybe there. Pardon me.
with no warning.
Right. There should be a gate with reflectors so people know that it's closed. The good thing is there's no more trash and litter in there. But it's difficult to park more than four cars there because there's the employee that parks there in the shade. So it's a challenge. But I still don't understand why, you know, the owner of Bolton Collision Repair's idea isn't investigated. And the idea was to straighten out the road. It's just, what is it? What is that invasive that's growing on? Is it like
Japanese knotweed?
Japanese knotweed. It's all that is Japanese knotweed. And all they need to do is bring some fill in and straighten out the access point. And it would be, I think the sight line would be fine. I think it'd be much safer than putting it uphill next to the, you know, the employee parking lot of Munson's. And then one of the things that Hank Gruner said, we should check out the history of that foundation. Or somebody had mentioned that. I think it was the Coventry Conservation Commission. There might be some history of there's a foundation in there that they would have to remove to put a parking lot in, an old foundation.
Up above the Munson's parking lot?
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that's where that house is, that little cabin there with the piano in it.
Yeah.
That's a little further east of that, sorry.
Right, but if they come back and they want to expand the parking lot, that would be taken down as well. So, anyway, something to think about. So any other business for the Conservation Commission? Let's let Leslie enjoy her birthday.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Definitely.
So what sign are you, Leslie?
For me, Leslie.
What's that?
Have a piece
what sign?
Piece of cake for me.
It's Leo season.
Yes, I am a Leo.
Oh, Leo. All right.
Leo.
Well, that's great. So make sure, Leslie, you get out this weekend. It's supposed to be a beautiful weekend. And if you get a chance, go in your backyard or go somewhere where there's not any lights. Lie down. Don't sit in a chair. You have to lie on your back. Mm-hmm. Look up at the zenith. Everybody has their own zenith. And if you see the Milky Way, you're in for a treat. The Perseid meteor shower is going to be. There is no moon interference, no light. It's going to be amazing. And the Perseids are notorious for long, streaking meteors with vapor trails. Some that are so bright, your eyes will tear. Some are like lime green, yellow, orange, blue. It's quite a show. I've seen 118 in 1 hour, 1 year. It was just amazing. Wow. So, nice. Yeah, get out, get a chance. Check that out.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Anything else from anyone? Okay. Is there a motion to approve the clerk's invoice?
I will so move.
Is there a second?
I will second it.
All in favor? Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion's carried. Thank you for being our clerk. And then we'll move on to adjourning. Unless there's any other business, any other comments from the peanut gallery? Thanks, everyone, for being here tonight. Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I will second. I'll second
that. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're adjourned. Thanks again, everyone.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Leslie.
Happy birthday, Leslie.
Yep, good night.
Night. Thank
you. Birthday to you.
Boo.
Great day.
Thank you.
Enjoy.